Where'd you like to start, David?
We're going in here.
Okay.
Here's where the
pre-pitches are. All right. Oh, yeah.
What is that? Oh, that's magnificent.
So we're standing in front of Erwin Verne's Fat Car. Fat Car is a Porsche on steroids, or actually a lagered-up Porsche. He's taken a standard old Porsche and put body filler in and an incredible luster of red colour to make a car that sort of investigates the nature of self-perception. Like, you know, how do we see ourselves? What's the nature of body image? What is it that defines us as us? Is this still a car? Are we still what we think we are? It's sort of a winner for all ages. Kids will love it, and it's a fairground museum piece.
How would you stop
a fairground museum?
How would you stop people? How would you stop me touching this, wanting to climb into it, to actually get closer to it?
I don't think we can really. We're actually flamethrowers, or but there was the Museum of Contemporary Art in Sydney had a piece from this series, and everybody touched it. Even though there was someone there telling them not to, I think I did.
How much of what will go into Mona is commissioned art?
A very small percentage.
So on what basis have you sought that? And with this one, for example, why did you want one of these?
Because I loved it. This is the commissioned pieces are predominantly whim, but there are a few pieces that support the logic completely. But mainly it's just a completely arbitrary process.
What else can we see in here? I mean, it is a climate control. It's like being in a not cold but cool store, a very, very large white walled fluoro lit cool store, and under some bits of very light packing foam, a sarcophagus.
So it's a sarcophagus. Who is it?
One is Ty S. Ken.
Hi, S. Ken. Now, this is Mary, who is here in the warehouse. What does that mean, and how old is this? Where is it from?
I think this one is around about 26th dynasty. It was made for a woman whose name was Tyus Ken. And, these are not dissimilar to Fat Car. This is how your body was kept in one of these, and it was all about the image of the body and how that went into the afterlife. So, if you like, it's a 2,000-year-old version of Fat Car.
Is that, to go back to what you were talking about at the site, David, the sort of thing you are looking at, the sort of thing you are trying to make people consider is the perception of one's body. There's a couple of millennia old example of that, and of course one that is so new it hasn't even gone on display yet.
It's a bit of fun, but it isn't a predominant theme. The engagement with Egypt came a long time before I was pursuing or exploring why it is that people do things. I just like them, you know. I like them as a kid, and it's sort of training wheel art, I think, as much as anything.
Is there any one piece in here in this remarkable warehouse, in this one part of this remarkable warehouse, that particularly grabs you, that where you look at it and you just think, I can't believe that I am able to see this so up close whenever I choose?
Yes, there is. Well, there are a number of pieces, but the one that comes to mind is a work called Matrix by Jenny Saville, who is an English painter.
I think we're going to walk and see the work in question. What is it about this, David? And can you tell us the story of coming to have it for the Mona collection?
Did I buy this off Saatchi? Yes, I bought this off Charles Saatchi, like the very noted and controversial English collector. So it's a portrait of a transgender person, someone who isn't looking to change their sex but wants to be in between sexes. It's a very large scale work with brushstrokes like Lucian Freud's, but I guess the technique isn't. It's a beautifully composed work that focuses on the genitals and the face, and there's a lovely tattoo line that gives it some formalism. I think it's a beautiful thing. Also, it's an incredibly controversial work too. It'll cause some discussion, and that appeals.
What's interesting, just, and this is the first time I've seen it, so the most vividly coloured parts of it are the parts that have the greatest contrast, the female genitals and the male face with facial hair. Is that part of its appeal, that contrast that and that duality at the same time?
I think that's a very good reading of it. So, yes, I would agree entirely.
So why this? Where will this sit, for example, in a much larger collection?
I think it is an exemplar of the collection, so that's why I picked it as the piece to discuss. It probably engages the aesthetic a lot more than some of my works do, but on the other hand, some of them we just buy because they're lovely. So, yeah, as I was saying before, the motives are fluid, so it's impossible to just pin down to one thing what's going on, but because this is complex, it can represent a complex collection.
Was it difficult to obtain, difficult to get from Charles Saatchi?
No.
Can you tell us the process?
So everything's for sale.
How many paintings... No, we'll just run on paintings for a second. How many paintings are in this warehouse?
Does anyone know?
About 300.
I won't ask anyone to put a price on it, but what else is here? What else will people see, and how long has this collection taken to assemble?
A surprisingly short time. We're talking specifically about contemporary art now, so it'd be of the order of 10 years, less than 10 years, whereas I've been collecting anything for 25 years. But I've basically moved through time, and now I've caught up with the present, so presumably I'm now going to buy works from the future. This is one of Australia's seminal works. It's Arthur Boyd's Melbourne Burning, and it touches on a lot of things that I really like. It's, you know, an afterlife scene. It's biblical, and it's, you know, based on the imagery of Bruegel, so it's got a lot going for it. It was painted just after Hiroshima, and it's sort of recasting Sodom as the Second World War, I guess. So it's exploring the nature of, you know, the last days, and the imagery is just so resolved. It's my favourite of Australian painting, but I'd have to say it again doesn't fit any particular logic of the collection. We can contrive one, but the honest answer is it's just a picture.
Do you think that the way artists, particularly Australian artists perhaps, portray themes like this, or perhaps the way we as consumers expect to see them, has changed very much, say, in the 60-odd years since this was painted?
It's an interesting question. After change upon change, we're more or less the same, I think. This is the imagery of, you know, 200 years before, and this imagery will be used again. Art has always been used to explore political and social themes, and it always will, but the exact commentary that's made at any given time is very much a fashion.
Speaking of which, the other side here is a mixed media, and it is a large work that depicts, well, it looks like a dog, but it looks like almost like a Hindu god with a piece sticking out of it. Can't really describe it.
But it is, in fact, the Virgin Mary. And the Virgin Mary with, the cutouts of female genitalia, and it has large lumps of elephant shit on it. This is a very controversial piece that couldn't get funding to be shown at the Brooklyn Museum, which I must say interested me. But I really like its aesthetic. It's by an Anglo-African artist called Chris Afili, and it is probably his most important work. I don't know if they have such a concept, but it's his best-known work, I should say, I guess. I love it. I think it's going to cause people to pick at us, and that's pretty attractive.
So really, what this is David Walsh gets to stir, and he gets to stir in a magnificent new building, and gets to stir by displaying stuff that other galleries either won't display or cop hell for displaying.
The museum is my soapbox, and I've got one hell of a megaphone.